Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Missing Link for SLPs podcast. I'm Maddie, and you are listening to an episode in our podcast series, Oh, the Places You Will Go, an SLP Spotlight, where I get to interview speech pathologists who have interesting positions in our field, from the very basic to the most interesting spots, places, people they work with, and all of that in between. I get to have the fun of just chatting with these SLPs, finding out what they do, how they got their jobs, and any words of advice they have for other SLPs. So listen as we explore all the wonderful things an SLP can do.
Right, good. All right.
So, storytelling about who you are and why you do what you do.
Okay. Yeah. I've really always been fascinated with the mechanics behind speech and swallowing. And so, you know, I always wanted to know the why, not just, you know, oh, they're having trouble swallowing pills or they're having trouble saying their L sound or whatever. And so I've always been fascinated with the mechanics of it. And really, that's just my personality is finding more of the causative factor and addressing it from there up rather than, you know, just treating symptoms and taking it from the top-down approach. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, if you had talked to me, you know, in graduate school, I thought I was going to be working in a hospital in trauma unit, head injuries with adults. And I am pretty far from that at this point. It's not that I planned that way. It just happened that way. And so if you had told me I would work with infants or feeding kids or, you know, lactation, or even that I'd be owning my own private practice or teaching courses, I would have looked at you like you were crazy. And so, yeah, my journey's been interesting. Started out, my very, very first job was in a skilled nursing facility. And it was not for me. And so I got a job in the schools nearby and I learned a whole lot there. And I have super mad respect for school SLPs. They, you know, are spread really thin with very limited resources many times. And it was, you know, it was tough seeing, you know, five kids in a group and, you know, spending my time tracking them down and, you know, sit down, you know, don't touch Johnny and all of those things. And so I didn't feel particularly effective in that setting for me. And so there was an intensive feeding program in my town. And I had zero real experience with feeding, but I was intrigued. And so a position came open and I applied for it. And I told them, I was like, look, no experience, guys, no experience. They were like, oh, good. We can train you. And sometimes it's easier to train people from the get-go than kind of undo some of the habits or, you know, if you will, bad habits, I guess. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I loved pediatric feeding. And so we worked with kids from all over the nation, sometimes even internationally, and they weren't making progress in their own community. And so they would come to us for 8 weeks, 8 week sessions, 4 sessions a day. And it was really fun. It was collaborative and lots of cool stuff happening there. It's one of only a handful in the country. And so I was blessed to work there. Yeah.
So that was a clinic that you worked at?
It was outpatient, but it was attached to a hospital. So it was a day treatment program. So they would come, they would stay in like the Ronald McDonald House. Mm-hmm. And they would get 4 therapy sessions a day for 8 weeks. So just more of an intensive model. And I had a case there that led me down the path of tongue tie. And so from then on out, you know, I, you know, had my my alert up to looking for those mechanical and structural issues. And so it just kind of evolved. And then I had therapists asking me, you know, what is this tongue tie deal and how does it relate to XYZ? And it's getting great success. And, you know, we call it clinical practice because it is. We, you know, try different things, see what works, see what doesn't, and was getting great results. And so from then I developed my course and launched my private practice. And so with my private practice, I see all ages from birth on up to the elderly and everything in between.
What is the name of your private practice so people can go find you in your website?
Yes, it's Chrysalis Orofacial. And so it's kind of modeled after the whole transformation of the butterfly and that, you know, sometimes these struggles are difficult, but they make us stronger. And I'm there to help you through. And so really my practice specializes in orofacial dysfunction. And that's from the beginning with difficulty breastfeeding or bottle feeding, all the way up to, you know, laryngeal tension, voice problems, myofunctional concerns, speech concerns, eating concerns, anything in between. So not really as much the cognitive side of things or the language side of things, but more the mechanical side of things. And so, you know, I do feel like that's kind of a missing piece in some of our practice is, you know, I feel like OTs and PTs, it comes really easy to them to look at the range of motion of the leg or the balance of the leg muscles or the coordination. For us, I think we forget that these are all muscles. So that's kind of how I started. My background is speech pathology. And then, you know, I saw a need for, you know, the kids and adults that their speech was okay. But, you know, and they didn't have a feeding issue or technically dysphagia. But they had a tongue thrust or they were mouth breathing or some sort of imbalance, you know, related to TMJ, dentition, headaches, things like that. So that's when I went down the path of getting my certified orofacial myology. And from there, I also got my board certification in lactation consulting as well.
You are the first in the world to become an SLP certified myologist and international board certified lactation consultant.
I know. Yes. And I know it's pretty cool. Yeah. When I actually think about it, I joke that, yeah, this is pretty much my only claim to fame. I wasn't good at sports. I wasn't good at music. Like, this is what I'm meant to do. So
you're good at this.
Yeah. So there's now a few others that have those three credentials. I kind of dubbed it the oral function trifecta. So really hitting oral function from all those different lenses and throughout the lifespan. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's a lot of fun and I love what I do. Get to make a huge impact. I get to work with a lot of different professionals. So, you know, chiropractors and physical therapists and orthodontists and dentists and, you know, some of those professionals that not every speech pathologist typically interacts with on a regular basis.
You remind me of a story. One time I was practicing in an outpatient clinic where we saw adults. We had, you know, the PT, OT, ST, and there was a patient adult, I think 42-year-old male, very very generic patient. And he had been seeing PT for quite a while. They were doing some cranial sacral work. Oh. And headaches. And the PT knew that I did some orofacial work as well. And she said, "Will you come take a look at this guy? We've gone over and over with his headaches and the lining and stuff like that." Well, he had a large tongue tie. Mm-hmm. And we severed that. I said, "You've got a tongue tie. Go take a look, with an ENT or whoever you would like to go. Yeah, these are your options." And he said, "Oh, well, that's really strange. I've had this my whole life, right?"
Right.
"You know, well, go look at it." And I said, "Do you have some of these other problems, like, you know, chewing and stuff like that?" I said, "Well, yeah, I kind of do." He went and looked, had somebody look at it. Sure enough, they said, "You've got a tongue tie," and zip, it was clipped and, you know, amazing results. Just amazing results.
It really is.
That you wouldn't think, you know, you think tongue tie, you think babies.
Mm-hmm, right. And feeding. And, mm-hmm. A question I get asked a lot is it ever too late? And the answer is no. It's never too late to address, you know, functional and structural issues. And you're right. You know, I think, you know, as specialists, we tend to have this narrowed view of the area that we focus on. And we may not even be aware to ask some of the right questions. You know, would you think difficulty swallowing would have anything to do with headaches or really tight hamstrings or things like that? And I mean, what we know is that through the fascial system, that the tongue is connected down through our diaphragm and our breathing, down the back of our legs and our knees, down to our toes. And so I've seen a lot of things change when you release that tension, mm-hmm. as far as pain and headaches and dysfunction. I've even had athletes that could never touch their toes. And when you release one area of the fascia, you know, the rest of it calms down too. And so another really cool case I had was a baby that was like delayed gross motor and was in OT and PT, was not crawling and started crawling the afternoon after her tongue tie release. Mm-hmm. Coincidence? I mean, maybe, but that's pretty interesting. And I've seen that a couple of times. So yeah, I would just encourage, you know, folks listening not to just focus on their area. You never know how other things relate. And, diversify. I rarely take speech pathology courses really much anymore. I'm looking at things from the airway world and the sleep world and the dental world and the lactation world.
Interesting. And
yeah. I would encourage people to broaden their horizons. And just because something's not an ASHA CEU doesn't mean it's not relevant or valid. And it can also count for continuing ed hours. It just won't be on your registry.
It's interesting. I was doing a podcast earlier with somebody and I asked the question, what do you look for when, you know, these resumes come across your desks? Because she hired and fired, I'm sure. And she said she looks at the courses people take.
Mm-hmm.
Tells her so much about the direction that speech pathologist is going.
I think so too. Yeah, absolutely. Lifelong learner is a great quality. That humility to, you know, say, "Hey, you know, maybe what I thought was not the case," or be able to change directions with new information. And just that, I think it's hard to create that drive in someone. Someone right. has to really want that. And I joke that I'm a continuing ed junkie. my husband's like,
"Did you hear from ASHA?"
I don't, because I don't do the registry. I just track my own. But my husband, he jokes. He's like, "No, it's not how many continuing ed you need. It's how many over are you?"
Right.
But I think that inquisitive spirit and, ability to question and seek further and outside your own field is really important for SLPs, new graduates, seasoned SLPs as well, just keeping things as, like you said, fresh.
Mm-hmm. Tell us what, yes, fresh, exactly. I was so focused on my next question that almost sailed right over my head. I named it Fresh SLP because I went to get some, it started off with a website, Fresh Ideas for Therapy. And then I just was, you know, working on my niche and I went to get some orange juice out of the refrigerator and there's that fresh orange.
Uh-huh.
And I'm, Fresh SLP. So that's why the oranges and everything. And I love orange juice. So tell us about one of your the favorite things that you about your job.
Oh, gosh.
And then tell one of the most difficult things about your job.
So favorite things. So hard to narrow it down. Let's see. Okay, I'll pick one of my top ones. One of my favorite things is that I, being a private practice owner, if something's not working, I have the power to change it. And so, you know, if something with the intake process or something in my space isn't working or, you know, something along those lines, if, you know, it's nice to have the control and not have to go to, you know, three layers of red tape to get something simple changed. So that's nice. My other favorite thing is that I get to treat the whole family. And so often it comes, you know, a baby comes in and then I'm talking to the parents about, you know, what sort of issues these are related to and their eyes bug out and they're like, oh my gosh, I have this, I have that too. Do you think I have these problems? Or, you know, I'll be seeing the parents and then they'll say, oh man, I wonder if my child is affected by any of these. And so just seeing the whole family and having, you know, the family bestow confidence in you that their results have been so wonderful that they want to share it with their friends and family. That's one of my favorite things, two of my favorite things. And then as far as something that's challenging, I would say, you know, it's a good and bad thing. Collaboration is really challenging. You know, when I'm collaborating with a craniosacral therapist or an orthodontist or another speech therapist on a case or whoever it may be, it's just hard to communicate effectively and timely. When, you know, I've got a full caseload, they've got their full caseload, different schedules, different locations. I would say that's the most challenging. You know, some providers like to be contacted via email. Some like fax. Some like a phone call. And so, you know, kind of doing, if you will, that code switching for what their best communication strategies are. That would probably be a big challenge, but it's worth it in the end. So
good, good, excellent. Final words of wisdom for the new speech pathologist rolling in.
Just remember that your graduate school didn't teach you everything. Mm-hmm. And sometimes the way that we learn things in school are not relevant or feasible or practical in your job. And so I would say, you know, be humble, be open to flexibility and changing, be ethical, make sure you're not compromising foundational principles, and, you know, just be flexible in transitioning to from school to your career. And, you know, broaden those horizons. Don't ever feel like you're stuck in one area. We have so many different settings and populations and, you know, you can be a generalist or you can be a specialist and so many options. So, you know, most speech pathologists are really nice and kind and will invite you to come observe and ask questions and learn from them. So don't be a stranger.
Well said. Well said.
Well said. Well, thanks for your time today. This was fun.
Thank you. It was great to be on Fresh SLP. I still love that name, but enjoyed it so much. Thank you.
Tell us one more time where your website is, the name of your private practice.
It's Chrysalis Orofacial, Chrysalis, Oro Facial, Facial. So it's chrysalisorofacial.com. You can read about practice. I have a lot of resources, you know, webinars, previous conference presentations, things like that. And then a listing to my continuing ed courses are on there too.
Because you are an international speaker. We didn't touch on that.
Yeah.
CEUs. We'll have you back on and we can talk about that sometime.
Sounds good.
Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
I hope today's conversation has created some aha moments for you and motivated you to become a better SLP, continuing to connect some of those missing links between what you know and how to use that knowledge. Thank you for downloading the Missing Link for SLP's podcast. And if you enjoyed the show, I'd love you to subscribe, rate it, and leave a short review. Also, please share an episode with a friend. Together, we can raise awareness and help more SLPs find and connect those missing links and get the information needed to help them feel confident in their patient care every step of the way. Follow me on Instagram and join the Fresh SLP community on Facebook. Show notes are always available, so come learn more at freshslp.com. Let's make those connections. You got this.